friend Mark Motzinger, the president of the Historical Society, our guest this morning for part two. Morning, Mark.
Good morning, Tom.
If you missed our first segment, we did a lot of response to that, and I think Mark went on and posted the Historical website, Society's website. We got a huge response on where the names of towns in southern Illinois came from. It's interesting, Mark. I don't know if I ever told you the story, but I'm messing around down around in Johnson County, Tunnel Hill, at one of the wineries, and I meet a guy who's from France. And okay. I tell him, I really don't care for people from France. And he says, neither do I. I'm Corsican. and so we spent the rest of the afternoon together looking at some of the areas. And he wrote a book called In the Time of the French and the Heart of America, when the heart of America was French. And really did leave their footprint when it comes to names across southern Illinois.
Boy, they sure did.
Is Attila one of those?
Well, no, Attila is kind of it's a little community that it's not incorporated, and I don't know if it ever has been, but it's a little community there in Williamson County, kind of between Thompsonville and Crab Orchard. And for some strange reason, they named it after Attila the Hun. And, you know, the reason they did doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but they named the town Attila the Hun, but really, any people in the area don't really even call it Attila anymore. It's known as Pordue.
See, and that's why I thought maybe that French influence when I saw that.
A lot of these do, but that is not. And the Pordue actually comes from a kind of a slang term, and my grandpa used to say it all the time. But I guess around the turn of the century, there was a little kind of a store there that didn't have any electricity. And a lot of the workers in the mines would come there to eat lunch, and all they could find was crackers and cheese. And they would say, well, you can eat lunch there. It's a do, but it's a poor do. And the town became known as Poor Do.
I love that. Now, here's one that I've had happen on many road trips with friends when we cross the bridge and we see, and everybody goes, is the name of the river Embarrass?
That's what it looks like. It's actually pronounced Ombrus.
Oh,
and what it means, now there, here you go with the French term. Now that is a French term, and what it means is basically a river of obstacles, blockages, and difficulties to go up, log jams and that type of thing. And that's actually what it means. It's a river of obstacles.
Well, I'll be in Ombrus.
Ombrus.
I've actually learned something. Okay, Ricky just sent me a name, Ava. Ava, Illinois. I mean, my first thought is somebody named it after their wife.
That is probably the true wife or daughter. A lot of towns, several towns in Johnson County and different areas in southern Illinois that kind of, the little towns kind of popped up, they would just kind of name the town after a family member. And so I'm sure, I'm not positive, but I'm sure that's probably where that came from. And that's the same case with Vienna. And a lot of people think Vienna was named after Vienna, Austria. But most likely it was named after a woman named Vianna Reynolds. And the Reynolds family was kind of a well-to-do family in the area. And that's most likely where that name came from. We don't know for sure, but we're pretty sure that's probably it. So a lot of times names are after family members, daughters, that type of thing.
You know, there's a couple of rivers that really tie, and I can't help but wonder, does the city of Muddy, village of Muddy, and the and the big Muddy River, are those all tied in together in name-wise?
Name-wise, yes, but in kind of a weird sort of way. The Big Muddy is nowhere near, you know, the Saline River is what's actually close to
middle,
the town.
The middle fork of Saline, I think.
Middle fork of the Saline, that's exactly right. But what the Big Muddy, what Muddy is actually named after is the Big Muddy Coal Company. And they got their name because they had coal mines over by the Big Muddy. But then when they moved over to where the town of Muddy is today, it became known, it was the Muddy Coal Company, and then the community was eventually known as Muddy. But, you know, one of the funny rumors that I'd always heard, and, it made sense, so I actually believed this for years, that for most of the time that you and I were kids, Saline County was dry, but there was one little tiny wet spot in the middle of Saline County, and that was the town of Muddy. And for years I'd heard Muddy was named that because it was a little wet spot in the middle of a dry county, right. And it was muddy. But that's not how it is, but it's kind of a neat story.
Well, yeah, and one that left a mark on us. I had some misspent time in my youth there. You know, when you talk with these coal mines, because one of our listeners also texts me, he says, How did Orient's name come around? Was it named for the mine? And if so, where did the mine get its name?
Because that's right. It was a mine, and then a lot of these towns were basically popped up because of mines, and or if they were there, the mine became such an influence, kind of like we talked about last time with energy. The name just kind of takes over the town, the coal mine.
All right, now you know, and I've spent some quality time. You know, me and my buddy Kent Casey used to hang around a lot around the Cache River, and is that, I assume that's another one with a French influence, but a cache has a meaning. I mean, a place you keep things, and I'm wondering if Ambras River is because of, you know, obstacles. Is Cache River named because of people kept things there?
Well, the reason it's called that is cache can also mean something that's kind of tucked away, and when people would come down the Ohio River, you really couldn't see where the mouth of the Cache River was because it was so swampy and there was big, cypress trees and that type of thing. And so they called it the Cache River because it was kind of cached away and you couldn't really see it. But because of that, it became kind of a place that people wanted to avoid. There's a famous story, and we don't even know if this guy actually existed or not, or if it was just a name attached to several different people, but there's a guy named Colonel Plug who was a pirate who supposedly would slip out, rob the boats that came down the river, and then slide back up into the Cache River, back into the swamps where nobody could find him. So that word cache kind of came from kind of tucked or hidden away.
That's actually, that's interesting. I'm storing that away for future use. Now, just a real quick one. What about Golconda? Is that Indian? Is that French? Is that...
This is another one that kind of makes you scratch your head. Originally, the town was known as Sarahsville, after Sarah Lusk, whose husband was who basically founded the place. But about 1817, they changed the name to Golconda after a town in India that was known for mining diamonds. Why? We're not really sure. Maybe there was hopes that if they name it, diamonds will come. I don't know.
Well, she did keep Lusk Creek.
That's true.
I canoed from the very beginning to the very end of the Lusk Creek, and I'll never do that again.
Yeah. It's an Ambras.
It is an Ambras. You know, you and Mark and I went to school together, and it's interesting that you and I were literally sitting in class together hearing about how railroads or mills or salt finds defined Illinois and its towns. And after talking to you about these and these last two interviews, I mean, that impact of railroads and industry in how Southern Illinois was named, because, and we talked about Gallatin County, all of Southern Illinois was called Gallatin County at one point. It was all Gallatin. And it was hard to travel. This was a really difficult area because we were between the two rivers. It was a hard place to get to. And in the industry, when it finally did happen here, really left its mark.
That's right. And, you know, a lot of your early towns were all along the rivers and the major riverways. And the central part of Southern Illinois was really kind of late to coming to people moving in. You know, some hardy pioneers kind of came in, you know, in the early 1800s. But most everything was all along the riverways. And most of your major towns were all along the riverways.
Yeah. And I was reading this story, Gary Eckelbarger, the history of Black Jack Logan. And he talks about a guy getting mad at somebody in Golconda, and he's in Marion about an election campaign, and he rode his horse for 3 days to get to Golconda to shoot somebody because he was mad at the sign. And it kind of gives you an idea. You know, you'd think he would have cooled down a little bit over that period of time, but it gives you an idea how hard it was to get from one place to another across this area.
Well, you know, and the Shawnee Hills is basically almost like a spine that runs across the state, and you basically had, at that time, you had swamps on either side of it, so there was nothing easy about traveling across Southern Illinois, especially if you go the direction of Marion to Golconda.
Historical Society President Mark Motzinger. Dealer's choice, Mark. Surprise me. You get your choice of whatever name, town, river, county that would surprise me about its origin.
Okay, well, there's quite a few, but I'll just go ahead and pick Cobden. Cobden was originally known as South Pass because there was, if you've been to Cobden, you can kind of see that it's kind of a pass through the hills. But for about 1859, a statesman from England came one day, visited the town, and left, and they decided to name the town after Richard Cobden a British statesman who just visited there in one day. So, you know, it's like, you know, all the people that were influenced in the town of Cobden were kind of bypassed, but they took the name of this one guy who visited there one day. I guess it's kind of like giving him the keys to the city. They just decided, we're going to name this town Cobden.
He must have left an incredible impression.
He must have.
Mark Motzinger, president of the Historical Society. Hey, Mark, you know, I was talking about you yesterday on the air, and I was kind of talking out of class yesterday. Did you hear me talking about you?
I did not, no.
I was talking yesterday with one of the regional superintendent of schools, and I was, you know, talking about the staff shortages, and that how some people were coming out of retirement. Well, I was alluding to you that, you know, you had retired, and you found that, you know, there was there's opportunities to return to school to help with these staffing issues, and you're doing that as we speak.
That's right. As a matter of fact, as soon as we hang up from here, I'll be headed to Galicia.
All right. So I thought that was interesting to let people know that there, you know, some opportunity if you're a retired teacher. Mark, I shared that when we went on the phone last time. So I'm sorry I was telling tales out of class there. Okay, Mark?
That's fine.
All right. 7:33 News Radio, WJPF.